Would you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 13? Exodus 13. And we will start. As many of you know, my style of homiletic is a fancy way of saying the art of preaching or teaching. Start with the illustration, sermon illustration. I was taught by the pastor Skip Isaac from Calvary Albuquerque, and he said, teach them what you are going to teach. Teach them what you are teaching and teach them what you are going to teach. It sounds like a no-brainer thing, right? It's like a, but it is important for us to think about it. If you are going to give a presentation, let them know what you are talking about. And let them know what you need to for them to know. And let them know what you, they learn. Keep pounding on the same thing over and over and over. By the time you finish it, the people, as the people walk out the door, they're going to retain more than ever before. Am I making sense? So I usually start this with a sermon illustration that is a more of the story style and easy to understand, that is pertained to the what I'm going to teach. However, this morning we are going to start with the two rather important theological words. One is a consecration, the other one is a sanctification. Okay, it sounds like, I'm sure you guys heard this both word. Seems like they are different at the same time, it's like a kind of parallel. They run them together. Consecration is another word for sanctification. However, consecration follows after cleansing. This is a very important word. Cleansing, while the sanctification only follows after surrounding. Surrendering. Both words, consecration and sanctification, have a connotation of a setting apart for the Lord. You with me? Yes. Setting apart. That means you are not mixing what God designated for you with the worldly things. By now, I probably lost the majority of you the attention because of two theological words. But it is important for us to understand this so that we can understand what we are about to study. Let's stop and pray. Father, we come to you not with a worldly heart, but with consecrated heart to you and sanctified heart for you. Father, we realize that we have nothing to offer to you because what we have is a sinful nature. Only if anybody can find anything good in us, it is because of you. You scooped us from the muck and mire, from the bottom of the pit. And you set us on our feet on the solid rock that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are asking you to cleanse us with your word. Wash away all of our iniquities and give us clean heart and understanding heart what you are going to teach so that we may understand what you are going to teach. Father, we don't want to hear from a man and all his opinion. Father, teach us. Give us wisdom to understand and anointing. And also anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 1 of chapter 13, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opened the wombs among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand that the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib. It shall be when the Lord bring you into the land of Canaanite and Hittite and Amorite, Hebite and Jebusite and Termite and Nilite, all of that it, which you swore to your fathers to give you. Land flowing with the milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day you shall be, there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall the leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your sons in the day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be, I want you to notice the next phrase, please, a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. Stop there, please. God told Moses to consecrate the firstborn of Israel as his own. What does it mean? Is he going to take their lives? No, that's not what it meant. He is more like a setting them apart. Not for the other people. This is the same with the born-again Christian believers today. He wants us to make him our first priority in our lives. But unfortunately, many believers put him last and do not even include him in their lives. Thus, we have a problem. We usually give the Lord what we don't want. Did you get that? We give him what we don't want. Leftover time, leftover stuff, leftover money. And after pay the bills and spend for our pleasure, if there's anything left, oh yeah, let's give a couple dollars to the church. Let's talk about this briefly before we move on to another portion of the scriptures. Ask yourself, if the Lord Jesus is the first priority in your life or not? Or would you say, yes? And you may say, yes, but remember, if he is not in your first priority, you are lying. And you are in the church. Think carefully. Do you have a first portion? Do you give a first portion to the Lord of your day? To hear from him through your word and daily devotional and talk to him in prayer? You know, or does your social media, newspaper, or TV program takes over the first part of your day? And you may say, well, I prefer to talk to God in prayer and listen to him through the Bible by end of the day. You know, if that's your personal preference, good for you. More power to you. I cannot do that. By end of the day, I look more like a zombie than human. And all I can think about is having a fellowship with a brother pillow and a sister sheet. Spending time with the Lord in his word and prayer should be our delight. Are you with me? That should be our delight, not a dreadful duty. Don't have an attitude like, oh, I gotta read that Bible because that preacher. If that is your attitude, please don't. You're not gonna get anything out of it. How about this? All in the morning, if that's what you prefer, before you open the Bible, saying to God, Lord, I'm about to open your word. Speak to me. Speaking of that, let me ask you kind of a rhetorical question. Why do you come to church? Is this a social club? If this is your social club, maybe you should find a better social club. Because this is not your social club. When you come through that gate, I expect you to expect to hear from God, not from men. If you have that mindset, I'm going to hear from God, then he will talk to you so loud, your ear is going to ring. If you say, oh, I got to do this so I can get a brownie point. No, you ain't going to hear anything. You're going to hear like a Charlie Brown teacher. Have you ever watched Charlie Brown? Wah, 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 wah. You're listening to this Southern Sweden guys talking to you. And some of you guys, Southern Sweden? You from Southern Sweden? Yeah, didn't you know that? Listen. Expect that the Lord will speak to you through the Word. That should be your mindset. That should be your delight. I am going to hear from God. And to some believers, coming to church is a dreadful thing. You're coming because your wife said, we are going to go to church. Okay, I'm coming. Oh, maybe there's nothing else for you to do. No football? No nothing? Yeah. I'll go to church. Don't show up if that is your attitude. Don't you think that God deserves more than kinds of leftover? Come on, answer me. Yes, no? Did God give you a leftover? What did He give you? His best. If you let your, do you let your decision come from the Lord first, or is it the last resort? You cannot ask Him to decide unless you ask Him first. You don't need to ask Him whether you should wear this kind of color clothes or that, or what kind of lunch should I get. No, that's up to you. But for the important decision, you should come to Him and ask Him and get the answer from Him. After you ask Him to decide, that when the answer comes, do you obey Him or do you ignore Him? Maybe you will ignore Him because you don't like it. You cannot say that you honor Him unless you obey Him. Am I making myself clear to you? If you are not going to obey Him, doesn't mean anything what you ask. All right? Now I'm going to talk about a little bit, talk about things that are a little bit closer to comfort. Do you give your first portion of your income to the Lord? Or do you give what is left over? Ask yourself if you tithe. Do you know less than 10% of people, church congregation give their tithe? That means 10% of their earning. Majority of people don't. Somehow they think that somebody else will pick up the tab. I'm not saying this because we need money. I'm saying this because your faith needs to be increased. Understand? People somehow think that God needs money. You don't need to ask Him, you don't need to think about that, think that God needs your money. Those who do not like to tithe, and they try to come up with an excuse. And they say, we are living in the age of grace, so tithe no longer applies. You're right. Do you know that we are living in the age, everything belongs to God, according to the Word of God? So everything you have belongs to Him, so you really don't have ownership of what you have. I know that the tithe is not mandated in the New Testament, but it's a good starting point to follow. Everything we have belongs to Him, and it's a Lord's way to help us grow in faith. We should never and ever think that God needs our puny wallet or IRA account. Let me put it this way. Do you know anyone who can pave the street with the gold? He does. Jeff Bezos, the Amazon CEO, he has $197 billion. If you burn $1 million a day, it will take a little bit less than 3 years to touch the first $1 billion. And he has $196 billion left over. Wow. That's an obscene amount of money. Right? And you're thinking, I'll just settle for 1%. I know. Folks, what good is it for you have money but you don't have a God?
Amen.
Everything we have belongs to Him. We should never ever think that God needs our help. He doesn't. Tithing is totally for our faith, to believe in His faithfulness and provision. In our Christian life, it requires constant adjustment, like driving a car. Let me put it this way. I hop in my truck and got on the helmet pick road. It's a straight shot all the way down, pretty much all the way down to the I-19, right? So I let go of my steering wheel. What happened? Either I fall, go into the ditch, or the, go straight into oncoming traffic. You need a constant adjustment. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Adjusting our heart is the Holy Spirit's sanctification process for us. This reminds me of the blind dog, blind guide dog training. I include this in one of my daily devotional that I sent out several months ago. If you remember this, please bear with me. Blind guide dog fascinates me. They become a blind people's eyes and guide them and protect them. I had an occasion to talk with a blind guide dog trainer. That trainer was blind himself. What he taught me, what he told me was fascinating. So I wrote it down. He said this, to train the good guide dog trainer, look for the dog that wants to please his master. You can train a disobedient one, but it takes much more effort and time. And most of the time, they don't succeed. Let's put this in our terms. The Lord, in His infinite wisdom, all-knowing knowledge, knows who wants to be saved and to please the Father in heaven. Now, let's talk about the dog. During the extensive guide dog training, guide dog candidate has to face many temptations and obstacles to overcome, like chasing cat, which is a good thing. I know I'm going to get a letter from those who love cats. Smelling everything and getting distracted by the other people and things. Overcoming this thing is against a dog's nature. During our walk with Christ on this earth, our believers of Jesus Christ must face many temptations and obstacles to overcome. I don't need to explain this to you because you and I go through it every day, don't we? Our carnal desire wants them, but the Holy Spirit who lives in us help us stay on course where God's righteousness is given to us when we are saved. As long as we are willing to obey His command. That's the key. As long as we are willing to obey His command. Let's check a dog portion. Some dogs cannot complete the guide dog program because they could not overcome their nature. Some Christians cannot complete their work with Christ because they backslide to their own sinful nature. Bless you. Back to dog. Even dog, which has completed his guide dog training course, has to go through daily obedience training so that he stay attentive and focus on the master's command. You guys already know where I'm going with this. Even a Christian who has been walking with the Lord for some time has to go through daily obedience training through his word, the Bible, and prayers to be attentive to our God's command. Am I making sense? Is your walk with Christ pleasing Him? Or do you fail your training because you choose not to overcome your sinful nature? That is your choice. That is my choice. Let me put it in simple terms. Devil, listen carefully, please. There's an old phrase, devil made me to do it, right? That's lie. Flat out lie. Devil can tempt you, but devil cannot make you do it. You choose to do it. I choose to do it. Final decision is up to us. Verse 9, I ask you to note that. The Jews use verse 9 to institute practice wearing phylactery. Small boxes holding a parchment of scripture in them, on them that held to the forehead and hand with a leather strap. See, you see this young man, Jewish guy? He's wearing a little box on his forehead. That's known as a phylactery. Phylactery contains the parchment of the scripture. And the strap, leather strap on his arm, and see on his bicep, there's a another fig tree. You know, later this Jesus condemned about this because the Pharisees, not only that's about maybe two square inch box, but they made it obnoxiously big to show their pious spirituality. And Jesus condemned them for doing it because it's nothing more than false spirituality display. Some of you will go to the Israel trip with us, 2022 with us. And when you go to Western Wall, you will see a lot of Orthodox Jews. And you will see many of them wearing the phylloch tree. And as a matter of fact, before you get there, there's a town, east side, Karen? East side of Jerusalem. There's a market. They sell all these souvenirs. They also sell the phylloch tree. Maybe you can walk around with one of those things in downtown Tucson and see what happens. Note this. During the 7-year tribulation, the great tribulation time, Satan imitated this. He demanded people to wear his sign, 666, on where? Forehead and hand. Yeah, that's right. He's an imitator of God. Bad, bad imitator. Verse 17 of chapter 13, please. Then it came to pass when the Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of Philistine, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war, and then return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with them, for he had placed the children of Israel under oath, solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took the journey from the Succoth and came to Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of the cloud to lead the way, and by night a pillar of the fire to give them light, so as to go day by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Stop, please. It would have been easier, much easier for the Israelites to leave Egypt and go straight to the promised land in 11 days. That's a walking distance, 11 days. That would have been easier. But God reroute them to the different area because he knew what would kind of thing they would happen to them. Same is true for our walk with Christ. A way that seems right for us, right to us, may turn out to be full of danger we cannot even think of. What we need to do is simply depend on God's guidance and follow him without any argument. Easy to say, hard to do. Would you agree? We need to understand that there are necessary wilderness experiences for the children of Israel. Coming out of the bondage of Egypt before they could go into the full land filled with honey and milk, the promised land. There was a wilderness path through. That is a necessary wilderness where they can learn many aspects of the nature and the character of God. That's a necessary wilderness experience. At the same time, there is an unnecessary wilderness experience, like 40 years. Because they choose to go against God. Have you ever done that? You choose to go against God and you went through a tremendous difficult time. And you cannot blame God because you know better. There are too many Christians who are doing the same thing like this Israelite. Their Christian lives go from the hot to cold, no following God for a month or so, then all of a sudden dump him like a dirty sack of laundry. And later on, you can find them in the spiritual gutter, so to speak. And many Christians have up and down yo-yo lives by their own choices. And some of you are thinking, is that a theological word, Yo-yo life? Yeah, it is. I invented it. What a comfort it must be for the Israeli to have a pillar of cloud during the day to block out the scorching sun in the desert. At the same time, what a comfort it is to have pillar of fire give a warmth in the cold desert air. And having a gigantic nice light doesn't hurt either, right? And you don't pay the humongous electricity bill either. Remember this for you guys. For 40 years, the Lord never took them away from them. Even though they were disobedient, unfaithful, it only shows the faithfulness of God. Doesn't it? Some of us might say, well, they were more blessed than us because they had a pillar of cloud by day than a pillar of fire at night. I disagree. You know what we have? The Word of God. And most of all, we have the Holy Spirit. If you are born again Christian, you have very God's presence in your heart. What else do you need more? And you may say, well, we don't have a miracle as much as they usually have. Maybe we don't have a faith as much as they don't have. Or maybe simply it's not for us to know. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And signs and wonders, his decision. Actually, I see his miracle every month. There are times I cannot pay bills, but somehow he meets my need every month. To me, that's a miracle. And I see a miracle happening here. When I give an altar call and somebody raised their hand, a dead, spiritual dead person coming to know Jesus Christ. That is a miracle, best miracle you can ever find. Amen. I saw many of them in our church. I have two applications for you. Number one, you cannot walk with God while you are holding hands with the devil. You cannot walk with God while you're holding hands with the devil. And you may say, I don't hold my hands with the devil. When you're disobedient, you do. When I'm disobedient, when I don't depend on God, I hold hands with the devil. Are you with me? Remember what I said? When you don't tithe, there are three things that inside of you, unbelief, greed, and trying to do it your own way. Unbelief is the killer when we walk with Christ. Ask the Israelite, because of that, out of 2 million people, only two people went into the promised land. Second application, spending time with the Lord in His Word and prayer shouldn't be our delight, not a dreadful duty. Spending time with the Lord in His Word and prayer should be our delight, not a dreadful duty. Amen?
Amen. Amen.